The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back from the weekend. I was off on Friday. I forgot I had a doctor's appointment. No big deal. And so that was just didn't allow me to come in. And I'm in today. And guess what? I'll be announcing this. We're going to be off for 2 weeks. I will, after today's show, we're taking a couple weeks off. It's helping out the people at the radio station and me and all that kind of stuff. And I'll be back on the air live on the 4th of January 4th. And then I'll be on for that week. And then I'm taking a scheduled week off. We're going to have Luke Wayne to do the show for me. And Luke works with us. He's been working with us for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years now. He writes some of the articles. He knows a lot of good stuff. And he's a good guy. And so even though people say he isn't, but I think he is. I think he's listening. Maybe his wife's listening too. And so anyway, he'll be on, Luke Wayne. He writes a lot of stuff. He's a great guy. He's a great guy. And he's not as obstreperous as I am. He's not as irritating as I am. And that's a fault in him, obviously, because I'm the standard of obstreperousness, which means boisterously recalcitrant. Just I'd let you guys know that. All right, four open lines, 877-207-2276. I want to let you also know that we're doing an end-of-year's fund drive. So if you want to help us out, folks, all you got to do is go to carm.org, C-A-R-M.org, and you can sign up there if you want to help us out, because whatever you donate will be matched. So if you donate $10 a month, then that extra $10 or that $10 a month will be doubled up to $20 for that next coming year. That's how that's going to happen. And if you do a one-time gift, say $25, then it becomes another $25, becomes $50. $25 is $50. So that's what's happening there. So you can go to carm.org on the right, not on the right-hand side, but on the bottom of any page, on the left of the menu, it'll say donate. Or just go to carm.org/donate, and that'll help as well. So remember, I'm going to be off from tomorrow the rest of the year, and we just arranged that today at the radio station because they're taking time off too, and I want to make sure that it's easy for everybody to take time off without being forced to be on the radio, because I am. And I think that's about it, I think. Look at that. Oh, look at that right there. So if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right. All right. Let's get to Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. Today I was listening to a preacher guy.
Okay.
He said the reason why the church is not answered is because the church and Israel are different.
Okay.
Because he said the tribulation was Jacob's trouble. That's why we're not around.
That's why we're not going to go? Yeah, I don't see that in Scripture. You can just say that, but it doesn't mean it's the case. Jacob's trouble, and so the church and Israel aren't the same, so therefore we're not going to be here. That just a bunch of statements. It doesn't mean that it's the case. One of the things that I think is interesting is I was listening to some eschatological studies, because I'm going to be doing a study here in a while. But take the picture of take the people of North Korea and of Iran. They are presently being jailed, murdered, and tortured for their faith. If we were to transport some of those over here, we had a magic wand, boom, they're here. And we had interpreters, we could talk to them, and we said, you know what? We're going to escape the tribulation period. They'd look at us and say, are you crazy? They're going through the tribulation period. They're going to something that is horrible. They are experiencing the very thing that the Christians say, oh, we're going to escape. The convenient Christianity of North America with its remote control everything and its escapist theology that we are privileged and we're not going to be forced to have to run to the hills, or if we believe and state, we believe, will be jailed and tortured and starved to death. But these people are experiencing it now. So I get a little bit uppity about the idea of the comfort Christianity of pre-tribulation rapture theology, that the Christian church here in North America is going to avoid all the difficulty because God loves us so much. You know, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus. He just loves us, so we're not going to let us go through that. But that's just not a scriptural position. And so...
Yeah. You're right, because I feel the same way, because every single one of the disciples except John were killed.
That's right. Yeah.
I was the one that I never heard that position before. So thank you.
Yeah, it's... In my opinion, it's pretty weak. It's just, you know, I get a little bit irritated. You know, I mean in a friendly way, but I get a little irritated with the people who, you know, they just, well, we're gonna escape it because God loves us so much that we don't have to worry about it. And, I just think it's naive. Okay. I do. It's naive. It's horrible.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome, brother. All right, God bless.
Enjoy your time off.
I need it, that's for sure. And I'll be working, too. But thanks, God bless.
Okay.
Oops, sorry about that. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have 5 open lines. So if you want to give me a call, now would be the time. Remember, I'm going to be off from tomorrow on to the 4th. I'll be back on the 4th of January, taking some time off. So if you have a question, you have a comment, now is the time. All right, now, since he talked about that, and also something else has been on my mind, which they've coincided. And so what I'm going to do is go over what I call depressed eschatology. Now, eschatology is a sign of the end time. Is the study of the end times and depression, depressed eschatology. You get it? Now, I want to say something here because what's happening in America is not good and it's pretty bad. So, what I'm thinking is that I'm thinking about doing something here. I'm thinking about doing a video on an eschatological position that I have held to for quite a while. And let's see, I gotta look up a word. I'm gonna read something. Oh yeah, that's right. And so I'm gonna read something that I've been working on, if I can find it. Oh, it's hard. Now here we go. I think this is where it is. Yeah, I got it. So all right. So as you know, the world that we're in is becoming more socialistic and Marxist. Now, the Bible talks about the right to own land, and the leftists want to take that away from us. The right of self-protection, the leftists want to take that away from us. The right to do with your land as you desire, the leftists want to take that away from us. In capitalism, a lot of people are not aware of this, but capitalism is based on biblical principles. And capitalism, unfortunately, has been denigrated as being an evil. This is what socialism and Marxism does. In communism, it says capitalism is just evil and that the cure is communism, where everybody's equal, equity for all, no one has to own any private anything, otherwise it's not fair for everybody else. The government then becomes the distributor of your wealth, your work, your product. And in capitalism, if a company is not doing well because they haven't met the market need, then they die out. Take, for example, Blockbuster. And my wife and I used to rent Blockbuster tapes. For those of you who are young, that you may not know what that is, but you went to the store and you got a tape and it was a movie and you would rent it for a day or two and you come home and put it in your VCR and you'd watch a movie. And then you take it back, you know, kind of like Redbox, except with the VHS tape. And so basically Netflix came along, and because of that, Blockbuster went out of business. Now, is that good or bad? It's fine. It's good. Not because people are losing their jobs, but because that's what technology does. The horse and buggy whip makers and the buggy makers went out of business. Why? Because cars came in. Cars created more jobs as the economy increases. So we don't want to bolster and lift up an economic aspect and have the government bail it out. That's communism. Because in communism, the government makes sure that all the businesses work equally and fairly, even if they do a bad job and they should fail. I remember when the car companies here in America were getting bailed out by the government. I remember thinking, no, you should let them fail because they're not doing what needs to be done. They're not rising to the level, being efficient, and they have failed in their work, and they should go out of business and do whatever's going to be done. No, but the government then bailed them out. Now the government's got a hand in that private enterprise, along with the banks. And so the banks that were failing because of their bad work, no, the government bails them out. Now the government's got its hands in that. This is the rise of socialism and communism. Now, along with this, you can't have any absolutes because absolute truths and absolute morals go hand in hand. If you have those, then there are principles that we must stick with. We can't have that in a communist system because the ultimate in communism is the state or the government. It is what guides you and controls you, and it is the one and the thing and the entity that gives you rights and can take them away. If you believe in a sovereign God, then God gives you the rights, and you'll stand against the tyranny of socialism, communism, Marxism. So, in society, in order for communism to work and socialism to work, ambiguity needs to occur. So to gain control, a united minority can thwart and overcome a disorganized majority. And one of the things that they do is they cause division and cause problems among the majority, and they set them against each other. And so they will say you are a bigot, you are hateful, you don't approve of women's rights or homosexuality rights, abortion rights. They assign the word rights to everything, and if you disagree, you're against people's rights. So they play this game because there are no absolutes with them. And in the process, criminals become heroes and heroes become criminals. They use anarchy to break down and promote equity and diversity because the government has to come in and rescue us because of the problems that it's causing. So with a new government, new construction is socialism, hence the Great Reset. And making children independent of parents is one of the things that needs to be accomplished. The vaccines, as you may have heard, more and more children are being vaccinated against the parents' will. And what they're also doing is lowering the educational standards, and are not teaching financial responsibility, nor are they teaching critical thinking in the schools, but are teaching socialist woke agenda. And so with this, the left, remember, has no universal morals or an ultimate judge to whom they will answer. And I'm going to continue after the break with this and talk about eschatology just a little bit. We'll get to the callers at 877-207-2276. Please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We've got callers coming in. Let me finish this part, and this is something I've written. I'm going to read it to you, and I have to go through it and polish it. But to the left, there are no universal morals or an ultimate judge to whom they will answer. Truth is not absolute. It is not something beyond them or greater than them. On the contrary, it is based on them. It is utilitarian and therefore subservient to their ideology. To them, truth depends on their goals, especially if they are in power. Therefore, truth must be defined according to their agenda. But since truth is not absolute and transcendent, the goal is not absolute or transcendent. It is shaped along materially based needs, which are ultimately temporal and self-serving. So the ends justify the means, because the goal is the ultimate, not transcendent truth. This means then that the left can create lies, use lies, accuse, and operate in the penumbra of half-truths. Now, to achieve their goals in a society that is absolutes as part of its worldview, the left must blur the lines that distinguish truth from error. So sexuality, gender, marriage, borders, language, rights, self-protection, property rights, all must be blurred so that absolutes and universal truths can no longer be a foundation upon which your society is based. So this is what I've been working on, and this is true. And there's more to this. This is what's going on. And the reason I bring this up is because of what Jesus said. The things that Jesus said would be around the end times. And here's some of the things. He said there'd be false Christs and false prophets and war, but also persecution of the faithful. There's not going to be this rapture thing getting out. There's going to be a general apostasy. The Christian church is growing cold and is not focusing on the things of Christ and disciple-making, but on how big their pantries are and how nice their cars are. Lawlessness will increase as love grows cold. And, of course, there'll be earthquakes, famines, and plagues. And he says there's also going to be an increase in selfishness with the increase in the love of money and pleasure and the increase of arrogance and disobedience and things like that. The name of God will be mocked. There'll be an increase in knowledge and a rise in spiritism. Now, spiritism is looking for spiritual truths in your inner self and things like that. Marriage will decay, there'll be false teachings arising, and I'll tell you, there's so much of that in the Christian church today. And I can name some things that most churches are teaching that are false, but they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. The gospel will be preached to the whole world, there'll be signs in the heavens and things like that. There's going to be an abuse and the destruction of the earth and its resources. The Antichrist is going to come, it's going to be a mark of the beast. Now, I just saw a video about people getting their chips, their vaccine chips, embedded in their right hands. And that scares me. Because now, as it says in Revelation 13, let's see if I can find it quickly, and then we'll get to the callers. It says, Revelation 13:16, he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark. And I'm not saying that the COVID thing is the mark. I'm not saying that. I don't really believe it is. But the right hand and the forehead are what you have to produce or yield in order to be tested. For the, you know, the temperatures, I can't help but wonder if we're being conditioned. And some people have to sound the warning, and I'm doing that. And I need to also develop something on what we can do to resist this. But I will tell you one thing. It starts with prayer. All right, let's get to Ian from Florida. Ian, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. Just had a quick question, and I hope maybe you could point us to some scripture or give some insight on. Our church group was having a little discussion recently about prayer. And we're talking about whether our prayers should be addressed to specific members of the Trinity, specific persons of the Trinity, or limited. And you know, looking through Scripture, specifically, we had the question about should we pray to the Holy Spirit. I was just wondering if you might be able to weigh in on that.
Sure. If you go to the last verse of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13:14, their fellowship is with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can't have fellowship with someone you're not spending time with and communicating with. So we obviously pray to the Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Matthew 6 and Luke 11. But also there's a phrase in the Old Testament where the phrase is call upon the name of the Lord, or call upon the name of Yahweh, actually in the Hebrew. And that's in Psalm 116:4, Zechariah 13:9. To call upon the name of Yahweh. Now, the Hebrew was translated into the Greek in the, what's called the Septuagint. Around 70 scholars did this around 200, 250 B.C. So that phrase, call upon the name of Yahweh, which occurs in many places in the Old Testament, was translated by the Hebrews into the Greek, the same Greek used in the New Testament, the Greek phrase, call upon the name of the Lord. Now, that means, in that phrase, for example, in Psalm 116:4, I called upon the name of Yahweh, or I called upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, save my life. So that's a prayer. It's one of the aspects. It's prayer, adoration, and worship. The phrase, call upon the name of Yahweh, which in the Greek is call upon the name of the Lord, which is applied to Jesus in 1 Corinthians 1:2. With all who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, their Lord and ours. That phrase carries with it the ability to pray. So yes, we can pray to Jesus. Right there in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:2. We can pray to Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I just pray to God sometimes, but whenever I pray, I generally almost always pray to Jesus. The reason is I want people to understand that they can pray to Christ because the cults don't pray to Jesus. They pray through Jesus, but never to him, as it's done in the Bible, because they don't have the true Christ. And that's why I do that publicly. Okay?
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for that.
Did that help?
Sure does. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Any other questions you got?
That's all for today. Thank you.
All righty, man. God bless, buddy. Okay. All right. Hey, let's get to Nelson from Bakersfield. Nelson, welcome. You're on the air.
God bless, Matt.
God bless.
Happy birthday again.
Oh, yeah. Belated birthday. Thank you.
Birthday.
That's right. Yeah, 65. Oh, man, I'm so old.
Wow, 65.
Yeah, I know.
I'm barely 36.
Oh, you youngin. See, all my friends are that age, or in their 40s or 30s. They're the ones I hang around with because I'm so immature that I just feel at home with them. So.
Amen.
Yeah.
My question is about the meanings of predestined and predestination. And before you answer that question, let me just real quick, because I saw this testimony, an amazing testimony of this atheist searching for God, searching for answers. And the more he searched, the more he was finding different things. He was testing different, you know, like different cults and stuff like that. But over and all, he finally opened up an envelope that was given to him a year prior to that. And it was cassette.
Hold on, buddy. We got a break, so hold on, okay?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back, folks, after these messages. Two open lines, 877-207-2276. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're at the bottom of the hour. Just want to give you a heads up. After today, I'm going to be off for the rest of the year from the radio, and then I'll be back on the air for the 4th for the rest of that week. Then I'm taking a week off. We're going to have Luke Wayne, who works with us. He's going to be doing the radio for a week. And we're going to get him up to speed on that so that once a quarter he does a week of radio and I get to take a rest. So, hey, by the way, thanks to all of you who have already given for the end of year drive. I really want to thank you. My wife is the one who takes care of that information. She doesn't tell me who, what, when, where. But she does say that, because I don't want to know about the who, what, when, where. But she does say it's coming in and that people are donating. And I just want to say thank you. Now, what I want to do is give people's first names. And I asked her about that. You know, could you give me a list of just first names? I don't want to do the first and last name because I want your glory to be for the Lord and not here. And you'll know. Maybe you already know. But, you know, if you can hear me. But I want to say thank you. I really do appreciate the fact that you have supported us so much. Thank you for all of you who already are doing that, as well as those of you who are increasing anything and giving something new for the matching funds end of year drive. I just want to say thank you. And remember, that it'll be to the last day of this month. And so you can, if you want, do it by snail mail, you know, mail us an envelope. And as long as it's postmarked on the 31st, that's fine. Maybe a day or after, because we understand sometimes the post office gets things a little bit late, and that's okay. But to the end of the year, that's what we're doing, and whatever you donate will be matched. So the address is the P.O. box is at the bottom of any page on CARM. And if you're interested in helping us out, all you got to do is go to CARM.org, CARM.org/donate. And all the information you need is right there. So thank you very much for all of you who are supporting, have supported, will support. We really do appreciate that support. Let's get to Nelson from Bakersfield. Okay, we're back. Okay, buddy.
Amen. Okay, so just to catch up to speed with the story testimony, he was searching for God, and a friend of his gave him a whole bunch of tapes, Bible tapes, that he had for about a year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was going through things, and he just opened one, and it happened to be the book of Ecclesiastes.
Okay.
And that's when, boom, everything clicked, and then he found another one, it was Genesis, mm-hmm. Then he got saved. So my question is, I know that from that, he was predestined, but was it predestined for him to open that envelope, that Ecclesiastes envelope?
Yes, God works all things after the counsel of his will, Ephesians
1:11. Wow, that is amazing.
Well, look, I used to know a guy, you reminded me, I haven't remembered this in years, but you just reminded me of it. This guy, he used to beat me up in junior high. And he became a Christian, and we talked. But he said once that there was a Bible on his bed in his room. Someone had put it there, and he took it and threw it across the room, and it fell open. And he went over later, just glanced at it, and read whatever it was. And he told me, he goes, I read that, whatever it was, No. And he says it echoed in his heart and his mind for days. He couldn't get it out of his mind, and he broke, and he became a Christian. And I just said, well, praise God, you know. Now I don't have to beat you up to get even with you. And we laughed. And then I'd grown up quite a bit. But so that's it. God uses those things, even the throwing of the Bible, the leaving of an envelope. People think sometimes that God is some mostly capable gentleman who doesn't want to violate our free will, doesn't really know what we're going to do, so he kind of sits in the, you know, it's up to you. This is not the God of Scripture. They don't understand the greatness of the God of Scripture. He simultaneously comprehends the location of every electron in the entire universe. Comprehends it while he's talking to us. This is him. And so even an envelope that falls into between two seats and isn't picked up for 2 months is by God's ordination. He can do it by his direct will or his indirect will, but he works all things after the counsel of his will, Ephesians 1:11. This means that nothing occurs in the universe that he's not involved with some way, either directly or indirectly. Nothing can occur unless it's by his permission. So heretics have come up with things like open theism, and I think Molinism is in that camp a little bit, not as bad, but is bad, and that God's knowledge is restricted in order to substantiate man's freedom. And it's always the case that when you elevate man's freedom, you got to lower God. There's only so many units of sovereignty out there, 100 units of sovereignty, and, you know, instead of God getting 100, we want 10, and he can have 90. That's how it is with most Christians today. And some in the cults, it's reversed. It's 80-20. You know, it's ours. So in Reformed theology, it's 100 him and 0 us. In Arminianism, it's 95 him, 5 us, or maybe 2% us, you know, that kind of a thing. So, okay?
Wow. Amen. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, buddy.
Have a good vacation, brother.
Oh, yeah, I need a vacation. All right, God bless. Okay. All right, let's jump on here to Amor from North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air.
Yeah, Matt, how are you? Thank you for taking my call always. I'm now becoming a regular caller to you, and I listen to you almost every day. I mean, if I want.
That's all right.
Liking it, loving your show. Mm-hmm. I find your Facebook page, and I listen to your video, and I see you. Oh, he's a good-looking guy. Look like Dana Croyd or Jack Nicholson.
No, you're not talking about me. No. I look like a bag of logs that's got mold on it. Yeah.
I see your Facebook. I listen to that, and you are talking about, you know, who's do the Dan Aykroyd or Jack Nicholson or whatever. Nah, never mind. But anyway,
okay.
becoming a regular caller and I listen to almost every day, as I said. But my question is, I'm listening to what you're saying a while ago about capitalism, socialism, the left and everything. Which I totally agree what you're saying. Have you ever, in your long career, because I read your bio and every year you've been doing this for long, I just find you out, but now I'm listening to you. Have you ever thinking about running for public office like a U.S. Senate like that?
Oh, yeah, I thought about it. And the reason I thought about it is because my last name is Slick, and what a better name for a politician. I just think it'd be great. I'd love to be in public office, but it would never happen when I don't feel called to that. But two, I am so conservative and vocal that I would say exactly what I say, and any opponents, I would call them out on the carpet and say, you don't uphold the Constitution of the United States, and you're a socialist, if not a Marxist, and no one should vote for you. I would say stuff like that in public debates. And, of course, they wouldn't like that. And I know there's a lot of corruption in politics, and surprisingly, believe it or not, in the voting system. So I don't think I would never make it.
CNN and all these MSNBC and all these things, they will all come after you again.
Oh, they would love to have someone like me on here. They go to my website, and I'd be accused of being homophobic. I'd be accused of racism.
Yeah,
I don't know how,
yeah.
But they'd accuse me of that, of being narrow-minded, bigoted, antiquated. And I would just say, anyone want to have public debates on these? Come on. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. White guy, white supremacist. Oh,
right.
But anyway,
well, I have to be white supremacist also. That's also I'm guilty of.
That's right. Religious right wing.
Or the right wing, kind of white supremacist, racist, bigot, homophobe. There you go. That's what I'd be labeled.
There you go.
That's right. And I would just walk out with do a debate.
CNN.
Yeah, just have a debate and get a T-shirt with a target on and say, here I am, folks. Ready? Let's go.
Yeah.
You know?
They will say, don't include him in the debate.
They would. In fact, that reminds me, I've listened to some of these political debates. There are points I don't understand, like certain aspects of finance and how the government works and things like that, which is quite a detriment. But I'll tell you, I could sure pick up on the logic mistakes that people make. And if I was in a debate with somebody and had an opponent and it was on TV and I asked a question and they stalled, I said, let me ask a different question. And then I'd ask the exact same question again and say, please don't dodge it this time. This is a question we all want to know.
That's right.
Oh, man, they would not like me at all. They would
me. They will be all over the news.
That's right. And then I get even more death threats
anyway,
than I got
thing,
now.
I love your show. Keep doing what you're doing, and God bless you, Matt Slick.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Omar. Appreciate it, buddy. God bless, man.
God bless you, man. Have a nice
All right.
day. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, folks, we have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Remember, after today, I'll be off till January 4th. All right, so if you want to call, now's the time. We're going to have a lot of reruns for the next couple of weeks. Let's get to Brian from Minnesota. Hey, Brian, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thanks. I had a question about, like, salvation. Like, how do you know you're saved? Like, my testimony is I went through Minnesota Teen Challenge.
Okay.
And I was in there. I never read the Bible before. And after, like, reading, praying, and asking questions, like, 3 months maybe, it was like God gave me a revelation that...
Like, hold on a minute. Let's talk about this after the break. How do you know you're saved? Right. That's a good question. Okay, so hold on, buddy, okay? All right. Hey, folks, four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everybody. Just want to give you a heads up. First, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And also, want to say thank you to Joel from St. Petersburg, Florida, William from, I hope I get this right, De Pere, Wisconsin. John from Boise, Idaho. I think I know what John that is. Stuart from Brandon, Maryland. You guys have supported. We want to say thank you very much. And because it won't be on the air rest of the month, I won't get be able to say other names. But I want to thank you, all of you, for that. We have a gentleman, a Christian guy who loves the Lord, and each year he helps us out this way, and he does a matching funds drive. And so I would just ask that you'd pray for him. Pray for his success, because he's a businessman, and he's done well by the Lord, and the Lord's done well by him, of course, and stuff like that. And also, just want to let you know that I'll be off the air live from tomorrow on to the rest of the year. I'll be back on January 4th, and we'll have pre-records and things like that. Just letting you know. Hey, vacation time. Let's get to Brian from Minnesota. Okay, Brian. You still there, buddy?
I'm still there. So, like, my question again is about how do you know if you're saved? And, like, my situation was I started reading, really pressing in, and after 3 months of that, I had, like, a revelation. It's really hard to explain, but everything in me knew all my problems in life were a result of not obeying God. Like, every time I went to jail, I went through them all, either me or somebody else.
Okay.
And then that gave me passion to start reading and obeying and obeying. And then that's when it became like real as day to me. And like, that's kind of how I vision how I got saved, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So are you wondering now if you're saved? You're not so sure, or?
Well, and that's another thing. So I ran with a ministry. I was doing street evangelism 2 nights a week for a long time, and then I got married and she got pregnant right away, and I pulled back from that. And I don't think like that I'm not saved now, but
okay, we'll tell you
like
what.
I know for sure I can be doing better.
Well, why don't you ask me a question so I'll know what direction you're going in.
So, like, how do you know if somebody's saved, like, in your view? Like,
well, there's different levels of knowing. But generally what we do to conclude that someone is saved is we look at their orthodoxy and orthopraxy, their what they confess and what they do. Are they confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, God in flesh, second person of the Trinity, died on the cross, rose from the dead, justification by faith alone in Christ alone, not by baptism and anything, not by sacraments, anything, but by faith in Christ alone, the essentials of the faith. And if they profess these things, that's one of the things that, you know, okay, well, praise God. And then also what we call orthopraxy, what they do, their practice. And so are they living a Christian life? Now, this is where it gets a little bit tough, because we could have someone who's living a Christian life like Bob and Frank, two guys. Bob is doing very well. He doesn't have any addictions. Yeah, he fails every now and then. He's a normal human being. But basically, he's got everything going. He's not addicted to porn or alcohol. He's not in debt. He doesn't have outbursts of anger. He's got children. His wife is beautiful, makes great sandwiches. Everything's going great for him. Okay, everything's fine. And he doesn't have any struggles, goes to church, and he tithes. Okay, and so he's not doing anything bad, and he's doing what's right. Then we have Frank. Frank confesses everything right, but he struggles. He falls every now and then in certain areas. He is failing, you know, maybe he has an outburst of anger. Maybe he you know, alcohol gets the best of him every now and then, say once every couple of months or something, and he gets drunk when he shouldn't. And he, you know, goes, oh, here, I did it again. Now, would we say which one of them saved and the other one's not? No. Both are saved from what we're seeing. Because struggle against sin is a sign of salvation, the confession of sin. Nobody's perfect. And I'm not saying it's okay to struggle with various things and don't worry about it and that's just okay. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that even for someone who struggles and fails, but they go back to the cross, that's orthopraxy. They're doing what's right in that they're confessing their sins before God. They're warring with them. They're failing. Sometimes they just fail. And I don't ever point any fingers at people who do that, because there, but for the grace of God, go I. I look and I say, my brother, How can I help you? And that's what I want to do, is help people through those things. Not that I've got it all down, but you know what? I've got some experience and stuff, and I want to help you. And so when someone says, are they saved? They often wonder if they're saved because of their works. Their belief, they understand. They know what they believe, but they don't see the corresponding relationship of works and faith. Not that works save you, but that the doing good is not as where they need it to be. And so they wonder if they're saved. And the problem here is that what they're doing is basing their salvation in part upon their works. Now, some that is the case, but some people it's not the case, in that they say, no, it's not my works, but shouldn't I be doing better? And because of that, they wonder. And the answer to the question, well, shouldn't I be doing better? The answer is, yeah. If someone were to ask me, Matt, look, you do all this stuff, you do all this, you really, shouldn't you be doing better in your... Oh, you got that right. There are some areas I'm struggling with, I got to do a lot better in. And so we all have to realize we're in the same boat, that we're justified by faith, and we're kept by faith, and kept by God's grace. Absolutely.
And then could I ask one more question?
Sure.
Go ahead. Like politics and our government, like communism. Mm-hmm. So, like, shouldn't we be fearing our police the most? Like, because right now, like, all of our police enforce unconstitutional laws. Like, if we go into an abortion clinic and try to stop child sacrifices, mm-hmm. the police are going to throw us in a cage. But if somebody else is getting murdered and we stop them, we'll be lifted high. Right. And, like, it seems to me like our government, everybody should be able to see that they're totally tyrannical, going crazy.
In a lot of ways. Not totally, but they are getting worse.
Yeah.
And COVID and our vaccine police mandates are being used to clean out from those ranks and various areas those who don't want to comply with the mandates. So the conservatives are being kicked out. So the police force is being concentrated into those who will just march in lockstep with jackboots. That's the problem.
And our military. Our military now is getting kicked out for run back.
Yep. I talked to a veteran a while back who said that he had to leave because he said conservative officers are being replaced by liberal ones. And it was happening for years and years and years. So there's a long-term strategy to undermine our forces that enforce our laws and things like that. And now look what's happening. The stupid guy in office, the branded administration, who says everyone's got to be mandated to... I'm going to find this thing. I can't believe what he did. Everyone has to be mandated to be vaccinated, and yet he opens the borders to let illegals come in. You know, the hypocrisy. And so this is what we have. When we don't have absolutes, then it doesn't matter about truth. Anybody in so-called power can do whatever they want. And if we don't have...
Should the church be protesting and being more
absolutely
active politically?
Yes. Yes. This is what Biden, this is what the White House says, whitehouse.gov. And it's on the speeches and remarks by President Biden after meeting with members of the COVID-19 response team. He said this on December 16th. Quote, but I want to send a direct message to the American people. Due to the steps we've taken, Omicron has not spread as fast as it would have otherwise done, and it's happening in Europe. But it's here now, and it's spreading, and it's going to increase. For unvaccinated, we are looking at a winter of severe illness and death. If you're unvaccinated, for themselves, their families, and the hospitals, they'll soon overwhelm. This is what he said. What an idiot.
I've read it.
Yeah. I just read it off the website. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And so, but then we have the pundits, we have the leftists who aren't going to tackle this. I'm hoping that conservative news will tackle it. I haven't heard them yet do it. But we conservatives, we need to be standing up and fighting in the churches. And the pastor's got to be preaching this stuff in the pulpit.
Hey, man, I'm going to start protesting my local police department.
Well,
but everybody, it's like tribal, though. Nobody wants to go against our police.
Well, you know, I say thank you to the police constantly. There are a lot of good cops out there. There are.
But they all enforce unconstitutional laws, though. Like, right now, every
cop
enforces.
There's some who let things slide, believe it or not.
No, none would stop us from stopping abortions.
Yeah, now that needs to stop, but we need to stop it by prayer first. This is how it works.
I don't know.
It's what it is. Repentance begins in the household of God. It's the church. God has sent the church to the world to become the salt of the earth and to be the light of the gospel. And what has happened is the church has bought into leftist theology of escapist mentality, of succumbing to the idea of being called names, of being said they're intolerant, and not standing up for righteousness and being united. And denominations are against each other, and they don't want to go door to door. They don't want to evangelize. They don't want to support ministries, hardly at all, that go out and do what needs to be done. The church is basically weak because it's not submitting itself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Repentance must begin in the household of God. When it does, God will start blessing the nation because he wants the people whom he has redeemed to start acting like people who are redeemed and not be acting like the people of the world who don't care about spiritual things, as is the case, unfortunately, with so many Christians.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Love you, man. I'm going to let somebody else go.
All right, brother. God bless.
Keep up the good fight.
I'm trying. I fight all the time. All right, let's get to, just jump right on to Gary from Utah. Hey, Gary, welcome. You're on the air.
Matt, how you doing, brother?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, listen, I know the time's going to be kind of short. I know that. So that's, I will try to be quick here. I just got done sending you a video. I went to carm.org. I had to do it the right way because at first I was putting www.carm, but I took that out and just put carm.org. And I sent you a video called The Prophetic Times. It's by Dr. David Jeremiah, and okay, he's a pretty good expert in eschatology. And did you, when you get some downtime.
Say, where did you send it to? Info at carm.org?
Oh, I didn't. Maybe I need to do it that way, huh?
Yeah, info, send it to this info@carm.org, and I'll get it, okay? All right.
Yeah, because it talks about how the Antichrist isn't even revealed until after the rapture. You got to go into it and watch it.
No, there's not a stupid rapture. Oh, I don't like to say, you know.
No, I'm just saying.
It drives me crazy.
I'm just saying, watch it.
Oh, I'll watch it.
I know. I'm just saying, watch it, and then it has information you might not even be aware of.
Okay.
Because it talks about the European coalition.
Yes, there's stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, send it to me.
I know.
Okay.
Info@carm.org.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless. All right, man. All right. Hey, folks, there you go. Look, I will be off the air until January 4th, and we'll be doing recordings. I want to continue and ask you, we're going to have a recording going on during the my vacation time, that please consider supporting us at the end of year matching funds drive. Just go to carm.org/donate. It really would help us a great deal. We do need that. May the Lord bless you all. Have a great Christmas. Have a great week. End of year. Just have a great time. I want to thank you all for listening. May the Lord bless you greatly. And by his grace, we'll be back on the air on the 4th of January. May the Lord bless you. God bless you.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.